Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, the Universal Form, text 45. Adrishta Purvam Rishitos Midrishva Vayena Cha Praritam Manome Tad Eva Me Darshya Devarupam Prasida Devesha Jiganivasa Adrishta Purvam. Never seen before. Rishitaha Gladden. Asmi, I am. Drishva, by seeing. Vayena, out of fear. Cha, also. Pravyatitam, perturbed. Manaha, mind. Me, my. Tat, that. Eva, certainly. Me, unto me. Darshaya, show. Deva, O Lord. Rupam, the form. Prasida, just be gracious. Deva Isha, O Lord of Lords. Jagat Nivasa, O refuge of the universe. Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After seeing this universal form, which I have never seen before, I am gladdened. But at the same time, my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, abode of the universe. Purport. Arjuna is always in confidence with Krishna because he is a very dear friend. And as a dear friend is gladdened by his friend's opulence, Arjuna is very joyful to see that his friend Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can show such a wonderful universal form. But at the same time, after seeing that universal form, he is afraid that he has committed so many offenses to Krishna out of his unalloyed friendship. Thus his mind is disturbed out of fear, although he had no reason to fear. Arjuna, therefore, is asking Krishna to show his Narayan form, because he can assume any form. This universal form is material and temporary, as the material world is temporary. But in the Vaikuntha planets, he has his transcendental form with four hands as Narayan. There are innumerable planets in the spiritual sky, and in each of them, Krishna is present by his plenary manifestations of different names. Thus, Arjuna desired to see one of the forms manifest in the Vaikuntha planets. Of course, in each Vaikuntha planet, the form of Narayan is four-handed, but the four hands hold different arrangements of symbols, the conch shell, mace, lotus, and disc. According to the different hands, these four things are held in. The Narayans are variously named. All these forms are one with Krishna. Therefore, Arjuna requests to see his four-handed feature. Adrishta Purvam Rishitosmi Drishva Vayena Cha Praritam Manome Tadeva Me Darshya Deva Rupam Prasida Devesha Jigan Nivasa. After seeing the universal form which I have never seen before, I am gladdened, but at the same time my mind is disturbed with fear. Therefore, please bestow your grace upon me and reveal again your form as the personality of Godhead, O Lord of Lords, abode of the universe. In Krishna's pastimes on this planet, Krishna appears as a cowherd boy. Generally, people are not they don't take a coward boy is very significant. Even Lord Brahma, when he heard that the demigods were glorifying Krishna, he said, how is it possible that my Lord could come as a cowherd boy? Such an insignificant position. How is it that my Lord could actually take such a lowly position in this world? And therefore he came and stole the cows and the cowherd boys in order to see what Krishna would do, what this cowherd boy would do. Similarly, Indra, who should know better, of course, Brahma knows better than Indra, but at least Indra should know something. He actually tried to kill Krishna and all the cows and cowherd residents of Vrindavan. Obviously, there was something wrong with his mentality. I mean, we may commit offenses, but most of us aren't out to kill Krishna and his friends. And what to speak if you're the king of heaven? Imagine what the king of the Suras would do. The king of heaven is trying to kill you. What to speak of the Suras? What are they trying to do? Because in this world, the coward boy is not considered very important and certainly not worthy of respect by high-class people. But that's Krishna's eternal position as a coward boy. And therefore, he spoke, of course, as a Kshatriya king. Not exactly as a Kshatriya king on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He spoke to Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita, as a chariot driver, which is even lower than a coward boy. Mixed caste. Chariot drivers, I think, are mixes between, I forget, one, I think it's a Kshatriya father, and maybe a Vaishya mother or something like that. And mixed castes are not considered very high class. Matter of fact, although Ramaharshan Sutta, Ramaharshan was sitting as the head of a whole assembly of sages at Naimisharanya, by a little mistake of not showing respect to Balaram, Balaram immediately remembered that he was mixed caste. And the result of that, Balaram took a kusha grass and killed him. So sometimes it's dangerous if you're a mixed caste. You never know what's going to happen to you. Especially if you commit a little mistake, someone may walk up to you and stab you with a kusha grass and that's it. Therefore, Krishna, most of Bhagavad Gita to us is just theoretical. Aditya namaham Vishnor Jyotisam Ravaam Simam Maritam Maritam Chasmi Nakshatra namaham Shasi. Aditya. Of the Adityas, I am Aditya namaham Vishnu. I am Vishnu. Now, we don't know Vishnu, we don't know the Adityas, it's all very theoretical. And therefore, most Bhagavad Gita to us is theoretical. Now, this one chapter out of all the Bhagavad Gita is not philosophical, it's experimental, experiential. Because we may not experience it very much, but at least we can understand that Krishna didn't only philosophically explain to Arjuna the truth, he also showed that he is the truth. Of course, as we know, that Krishna also showed different universes. When Krishna went to try to arrange peace between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, headed by Duryodhana, then Krishna, he tried to convince Duryodhana to make peace, but Duryodhana was not very enthusiastic about peace. He didn't want to give the Pandavas even as much land as you can actually put in a pin into. Not quite a whole lot of land. It's about as much land as most of us can afford, but it's not very significant. In any case, Krishna became a little frustrated with his situation. And Duryodhana also became frustrated. So he wanted to arrest Krishna. Krishna was sitting on a throne, and he had a secret mechanism by which the throne would collapse and Krishna would fall into a pit and they could arrest him. And then Krishna decided to show his universal forms to Duryodhana. He showed his forms with Brahma and the demigods, and Duryodhana was not very much impressed. You can do, as Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, if you don't like someone, doesn't matter what they do, you're not impressed by it. Even your God, you show all kinds of universal forms, people think, big deal, a little mystic. Duryodhana says, oh, he has a little mystic power, big deal. I also have mystic power. And then Krishna just walked out. In any case, here Krishna is showing Arjuna the universal form, and we're liable to also think that this is a little bit of an exaggeration, perhaps. Krishna's eating warriors. I thought he was a vegetarian. Fire is coming out of his mouth. I thought he wasn't supposed to smoke. So we may not take it in the right way. But as we progress in Krishna, well, just like, for instance, if it's true from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita that we're not this body, and other things, how Krishna explains the process of being put into illusion by the illusory energy, and the process of getting out of illusion, if we are actually taking to the path of devotional service, we have to at least develop some faith in this 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. That perhaps this universe that we're living in is actually in Krishna. When Mother Jasoda wanted to find out if Krishna was eating dirt, because Balaram and his friends were complaining to Mother Jasoda that Krishna's eating dirt. And Krishna said, my friends and my elder brother Balaram, we had a fight today and they're ganging up on me just to get even and complaining about me. Even if you go to the spiritual world, people complain about you. They even complain about God. It's just the nature of existence. So Krishna said, if you actually don't believe me, I'll open my mouth and just see if I have any dirt. He opened his mouth, and Mother Jasoda looked in and saw all the planets, as well as outer space, all the demigods, time, all the elements. So that she also saw herself taking Krishna on her lap and breastfeeding him. So she became a little bewildered. Of course, that bewilderment is yoga maya. In any case, that means we're right now in Krishna's universal form. May not feel like it, but as Krishna was showing how he was chewing the warriors, how he was manifesting the universe, how the demigods... What was the first verse I ever learned in the 11th chapter? No, I forgot it. It was 11:15. Arjunavacha pashami devam stava deva dehe Sarvam tata bhuta vishesha sangam, brahmanam isham kamalasanastam, sarvam urgam vish devam divyam, Arjuna vacha pashami devam stava deva dehe, Sarvam sada buddha vishesa sangam, brahmanam isham kamalasanam stam, rishimshasarvam urugam tadevam divyam. I see Arjuna said, I see assembled in your body all the demigods. I mean, that must be quite a sight, seeing all the demigods. If we could see one demigod, we'd be quite amazed. But to see all the demigods at once in someone's body, imagine looking in Ananta's mouth and seeing a demigod. Did you eat him for breakfast? He'd be quite impressed. Ananta, I thought you were just an ordinary brahmachari, but you have demigods in your mouth. And Krishna had all the demigods and various other living entities, not just demigods, all these other living entities. And Brahma is sitting on a lotus flower in his mouth, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. I mean, talking about eating snakes, but these are divine snakes. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the sages, the demigods, all other living, it's all in Krishna's mouth. I mean, that must be impressive. And even if we don't, are not fully convinced that this actually happened, still we have to be a little impressed that who could have thought of something like that? Did you ever see a movie? Someone looks in someone's mouth and they see someone sitting on a lotus flower. I mean, this is... no, there's no science fiction movie that compare this. So we have to have a little faith. And if we read it with little faith, then we have to think, well, here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Panchatattva. Here's the Dvaita Acharya, who is a plenary expansion of Krishna, who manifests the universal form. One has to be a little impressed by just the thought that this might be true. And therefore, the whole idea is to invoke some kind of reverence, that these, just a little reverence for Krishna, or even for the deity form of Krishna, just a little reverence, because generally speaking, every conditioned soul, by nature, by being a conditioned soul, doesn't take anything that seriously. The conditioned soul takes things seriously if it actually concerns one directly, or something in relation to oneself. But Krishna is generally not, or God, or the Supreme Person, or other people that we don't know, that we're not familiar with, we don't take that seriously. But here is just to invoke some kind of impression that, wow, this person's extraordinary. And that even though he's displaying his universal form, here we find that Arjuna still has the same relation with Krishna. That Krishna is equally kind in his universal form as he is in his Narayan form, or in his form as Krishna. He's all loving, all kind. Although sometimes he shows what's called tough love. He's kind, but how he manifests itself may not be appreciated by everyone. So this idea of being able to see how Krishna is manifesting a universal form, and Krishna doesn't change his consciousness. It's not that when he gets involved in the universal form, he gets super passionate, you know, he starts thinking, well, I can eat warriors, I can eat Shiva's in my mouth, Brahma's in my mouth. Watch out. No, he's the same loving personality of Godhead, and the whole universe is meant for the benefit of all living entities. It's not meant simply to punish the living entities, it's meant to rectify them so they can rejoin Krishna either in the Vaikuntha or in the spiritual world. So Arjuna, as it says here, he keeps the same relation with Krishna, although Krishna is manifesting something quite extraordinary. And Arjuna is very happy to see that my friend is quite extraordinary. And at the same time, he's afraid that maybe he committed some offense. So that's good. When we get a little bit awe and reverence, we become a little fearful. We may commit offenses, or we have committed offenses. And that's a good sign, because outside of Krishna consciousness, our whole life is an offense. So it's good to feel a little humbled by this. Because at least if we think, well, maybe I've committed some offenses, maybe I should ask for some forgiveness. Not that I'm divine and I can't commit offenses because I'm a devotee. The only offense is when people think I've committed offense. Otherwise, I have no offense. But, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, forgetting one's eternal relation with Krishna, which is a quite interesting quote here, in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 28, at the very end of the purport, Prabhupada writes, the impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinate to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. So every time we forget that we're servants of Krishna, this is the greatest violation. But I'm a nice devotee. Well, anyhow, we may forget Krishna once in a while. Rarely, but once in a while. And this is violating Krishna's law. And the Prabhupada says, unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead or to be fully engaged in his transcendent loving service with determination. So we forget Krishna, our relation with Krishna, or we should say sometimes by good fortune we remember it. But we should understand that somehow or another we have to practice trying to be situated in our constitutional position, and then Krishna will gradually reveal himself to us in the heart, and we'll be able to understand him better. And by doing that, then we'll become inspired to fully engage in devotional service. Just by forcing ourselves to engage in devotional service, it's not going to work. We have to accept our constitutional position, try to please Krishna by devotional service, and as Krishna reveals himself, then we get the inspiration and the intelligence to more and more engage in his pure devotional service with determination. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
All right. Thank you for the class. Apparently very angry on Indra, after all, he wanted to kill him.
More than Krishna was angry.
I said apparently.
I mean, actually, according to Krishna, when Indra started his devastation of Vrindavan, the first Krishna had was, let me destroy the heavenly planets. And then Krishna said, don't bother, they're so insane. Over down hill and protect my devotees. So at first Krishna was contemplating maybe destroying the heavenly planets. I mean, it's do it. But so then he raised Govardhan Hill. But Indra, who is angry now.
So my comment, the Lord Brahma, as you mentioned, simultaneously relationships at the same time, in a sense of
different what?
Different relationships with the devotees had with Krishna,
yeah.
And the same time, right? Yeah. Because usually, for example, when Mother Yashoda sends Krishna for gazing, then Mother Yashoda is longing for Krishna's relationship in this sense, and then the coward boys are happy, and then when the Krishna has to so-called sleep, then the coward boys are not happy because, you know, when will we see Krishna? But at that point, I heard the explanation that because of Indra, now all the residents of Vrindavan who were there under Govardhan Hill at the same time could have direct pastime with Krishna. So it was like bringing all the devotees together. On the other hand, when Lord Brahma stole the coward boys and the cows, it's like separating them, like destroying the so-called, I mean destroying, interfering with the relationship with the
glorious, glorious to Indra. Because when he was trying to kill you, kill all the residents of Vrindavan, I don't think they were offering prayers to Indra at that time. Dear Indra, you're so kind. But, you know, that's the way the pastime worked out, is Krishna's arrangement. Teach Indra a lesson and fulfill his own desires. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Grandaraj, Shrimad Bhagavad Gita, Kijai.